So Acts chapter 19. And we're going to read from verse 1. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coasts, came to Ephesus. And finding certain disciples, he said unto them, Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, Unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, Unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And all the men were about 12. And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs and or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Amen. May God bless this reading also. This passage, this chapter 19, opens up with the apostle back in Ephesus. And I think that's interesting because we reminded ourselves recently that the apostle had gone to Ephesus and he had only briefly been able to stay there because he had been eager to get to Jerusalem. And you remember we mentioned that he had gone to Jerusalem, and from Jerusalem he had then returned to Antioch, and from Antioch, after spending a little bit of time there, he began his third missionary journey. Now, we don't have the third missionary journey here on this little piece of paper, but you can see it if you've got it. On this one with the single map, that here's Antioch in at this side, and he goes back up through Cilicia, through Galatia, which is a little hoop there, and Phrygia, and then he dropped down into Ephesus. So he's back on the coast. So he travelled a huge distance again, and nothing is mentioned about his time in those other churches that he had visited. We're suddenly back at Ephesus. We'd really just left Ephesus, swept quickly down through Jerusalem, gone to the feast, up to Antioch, spent some time there, back up through what we now call Turkey, and back round to Ephesus once again. So likely it is that there are many places that the Apostle Paul had been to, stopped, met the saints, preached the gospel, that we don't even hear about in these verses. And it's just interesting that so often, while we are given details about one place by the direction of the Holy Spirit and under his unction and injunction, there are other places that we don't hear very much about, if anything at all. And we're told that Apollos seems to have had a useful ministry at Corinth in this time. And it may be that Luke records that because indeed Apollos appears to have been a very powerful preacher, a very great orator. And a man who was empowered and emboldened and enabled by the Lord to preach with great success to such a degree that it even appears as if there were those who desired that Apollos' ministry would eclipse that of the Apostle Paul himself, and had tried to raise Apollos up as the leader of their group. It may well be against his will, but then that's just people for you. And we discover that elsewhere. But certainly it appears that in Corinth, Apollos had a successful ministry. And we find that Paul, however, is come to Ephesus. And here are these two churches in two different cities that have such a big impact on our New Testament because of the letters and epistles that were written to them. So here's the activity of the Lord going on in both cities simultaneously as the gospel is being preached and carried and going out. And it just shows you the fact that the Lord was in this, that he was establishing and maintaining and enlarging the ministry of the gospel in a number of different places at the same time. We don't even know what was happening with Silas or with Timothy at this particular time, whether they were with Paul or not. It may well be that they had been sent to other places as Paul had previously done on the second missionary journey. Here in Ephesus, Paul meets with 12 disciples. Where have we heard of 12 disciples before? Well, I wondered if you knew that there were two lots of 12 disciples in the Bible. Because here's another set of 12 disciples. And these men just appear. I don't know whether they'd been at Ephesus for a long time or they had just arrived in Ephesus while Paul was preaching there. Paul had only been in Ephesus for a little while on a previous occasion, so it's quite possible that they've been there for some time and he just was never introduced to them. But he meets them this second visit. And this interesting little passage that we have here concerning these men shows us that the Lord's overarching providence in his purposes are beyond our arrangement and our management. You know, we like to think that we've got a finger in a lot of different pies, that we're juggling things, we're managing things, we're on top of things. But this is just a little example from the Word of God where we see that God's purposes for the salvation of his people are beyond anything that we could ever organize or manipulate. And it's a lovely little set of verses that just tell us something about the Lord's gracious providence. He is the one who takes responsibility for teaching his people and teaching his church, and his will unfolds more than ever we could manage or arrange. There is a verse in Timothy which says, "The Lord knoweth them that are his." And that reminds us that we are called to be busy where we are for the sake of the gospel and the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. But let the Lord worry about where we are not. Let the Lord deal with his church and his people. Because invariably, if we start to get up on our high horse and think that we can have a contribution or a comment or an involvement in a situation, well, the Lord knows better what he's doing than we ever will. So here we find that the group of men, these 12 disciples, had somehow got to Ephesus. What they were doing there, I don't know. Where they'd come from, I don't know. How long they'd been there, I don't know. But you remember that man Apollos when he came to Corinth and started preaching? We discover that he was a very able preacher, but he didn't know the whole gospel. And so Aquila and Priscilla, or Priscilla and Aquila, they took him aside and they spoke to him and they showed him, we're told that they expounded the way of God more perfectly to him. And that's what was happening with these 12 disciples also. These people who met Paul, or who Paul met, were men who needed to be taught, who needed to have the way of God expounded to them more perfectly, that they might better understand the way of God. I think these men were probably believers. I think they probably had faith in God, but they hadn't heard the whole message. Now you say, well, how's that possible? Doesn't a person have to hear the whole gospel? Doesn't a person have to know? But remember, this was a time of transition. This was a time when, because of the age, because of the place, that there were things happening in one part of the country or one part of the world or one part of the region which didn't get known about in other parts. Things were happening quite quickly. Although, as well, sometimes they took a long time to travel out to different places. Do you know it's about 25 years since John the Baptist was doing his ministry? 25 years! Where could you go in 25 years? What could you see in 25 years? Well, these men had come all the way from where John was baptizing. Remember, we talk about beyond Jordan. John baptized beyond Jordan. And Jesus had come down from Galilee to Jordan to be baptized of John. And it seems that these men were disciples of John. They had been there when John was preaching. They had been there when the baptism was taking place. They'd heard about the way in which the Lord Jesus Christ was being spoken of by John. But then John was arrested, and his movement was broken up. We know some of John's disciples started to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Andrew was one of them. Peter was another. John likely was another. They had been disciples of John and they became disciples of Jesus. But others that were the followers of John, who created a big impact, they were broken up and disappeared. And it seems as if these 12 were perhaps of that number, of that group. Because when Paul speaks to them about their understanding and their belief, they were only able to say that they knew the baptism of John. They didn't know about the coming of the Holy Spirit. I don't think that it means that they didn't know anything about the Holy Spirit, because remember that John's preaching was also about the Holy Spirit. That the Lord Jesus Christ, when he had been baptized, the Holy Spirit descended on him as a dove. So it's unlikely that they had never heard anything about the Holy Spirit. They just didn't know that the Holy Spirit had come at Pentecost. They didn't know, because of the distance, because of their circle, because of the circumstances, what had transpired subsequently. And so we discover that the apostle is able to lead them into a greater knowledge of the way, just as Priscilla and Aquila had done for Apollos. And here we see that the apostle lays hands upon these people, and they receive gifts from the Holy Spirit, showing that they had entered fully into the knowledge of the things that were being spoken of at this time. Paul goes on to preach for 3 months in the synagogue in Ephesus. And there we discover that persecution, opposition arose, and again he had to withdraw. And he spends the next couple of years in Ephesus. So again, like Corinth, he spent quite a considerable period of time in Ephesus, and he continued preaching there at a place which is called the School of One Tyrannus. And there is a name to conjure with. So whatever the school was, or whatever the location was, that's where Paul made his center, his headquarters, and there it appears the first church in Ephesus was formed and was established. Special miracles are spoken of in this little passage too, which is an interesting little phrase. And we are told that these were, in verse 11, God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. I don't know whether we hear about all those special miracles here, but it's a lovely little phrase, is it not? Special miracles. These just weren't ordinary miracles. What's an ordinary miracle? Well, what's a special miracle? But here we discover that God authenticated and empowered Paul's ministry, his preaching, showing that this was truly a man anointed of God who was able to bring a word of eternal life to those to whom he preached. And these miracles, it gave Paul a platform. They couldn't gainsay the fact that he's just another voice, he's just another person, he's just another teacher. We've all got our ideas, we've all got our opinions. God said, no. No, I will tell you who you should listen to. Here's the man whom I am pleased to empower with the gospel. And so it was that from his body, whether it was a handkerchief, whether it was an apron, whether it was some sort of cloth that had touched his brow perhaps, but when that was taken and conveyed to those who were sick or had diseases, the Lord God marvelously and miraculously caused healing of diseases to occur in that place. We don't have these kind of miracles any longer because we don't need them any longer. They were for a particular time, in a particular place, for a particular reason. They authenticated and they empowered the ministry of the gospel at that time. But we have the word of God now in its entirety. And this is our authority. The authority isn't vested in the individual, but rather it is the word that is preached. And so we see how the unfolding of God's purpose moved on in time. This little incident, this little episode, shows us the way in which the gospel was being preached. And it gives us also an insight into that divine nature of the message and the conversions that followed as that message went out. And here we see the beginning of the church at Ephesus, which is again just a delight to see the hand of God at work in this way. Because in a little while, in a number of years, the Apostle Paul is going to write a letter to this church, to the friends that he has made there, to those that he has placed in positions of leadership and responsibility, and he's going to encourage the saints in that place. And he is going to convey to us a beautiful statement of God's sovereign grace and purpose in salvation in the wonder that is the book of the Ephesians. So the Lord was arranging all these things, and it is good for us to remember that he has his hand upon all these circumstances and eventualities, and that we are to honour and recognise him in the things that he is doing. Amen.